Good morning. Greetings. I'm Steve Fisher, and this is my wife, Sevilla. And I'm blessed to be here. I'm excited to share what God has done in my life, in our lives. I love sharing my testimony. It's I count it a privilege to just share with all of you what God has done in our lives and the good things that He's continuing to do. It's exciting. So, just thank you for this opportunity. As most of you, probably all of you know, that I grew up Old Order Amish, and I would say my home was not necessarily a typical Old Order Amish home. My mom was a believer. She was converted at a young age, a teenager, and so she, during her teenage years, had experiences of her sisters and others around her kind of thinking she was a little funny with some of her convictions, and even to this day, she's tends to be a little bit of an oddball with her sisters and her family. But anyway, I was blessed with a very dear mother. My father is also a believer. I'm not sure when his conversion happened, but he had a major change in his life in the I would say the early 90s, the mid 90s, that there was a major change in his life that I never really sat down and asked him. But I didn't have a very good relationship with my father until later in my life. In fact, in the last year, I've probably had more heart-to-heart talks with my dad than I've ever had before, which was a real blessing, actually, since we were excommunicated. And so there's times that things that rock that a little bit, you know, we don't see things quite the same. Dad still holds on to, you know, most of the things that the Amish teach and tends to lean in that direction a little bit more. But God has really done a work in our relationship, and it's really a blessing to just see that coming together. But anyway, in spite of that, I did grow up in my running around years. I got into a lot of looseness and sin, and it just before that, you know, I was taught to pray before I would go to bed, and I practiced that pretty regularly throughout my whole life. There may have been a few times during my running around years that I kind of felt like, what's the use? That, you know, I'm a sinner, I'm a rotten person anyway, it's no use. But I do remember that, you know, with the teaching from my mother, there was the fear of God planted into me at a young age. And something that really stirred up that fear in my heart usually was that at nighttime when there was a severe thunderstorm, it reminded me of the power of God. And that always just really stirred up that fear of God in my heart. And I remember thinking that baptism would help, joining the church and getting baptized would help, that after that then those temptations would go away and I wouldn't have that to deal with. And at the age of 17, I did get baptized. I remember saying to one of my friends one time that, you know, I don't think this world's going to last very long anymore. I think it's time for me to get baptized and join the church and settle down. And, well, I went through that getting baptized, joining the church, but nothing really changed in my heart. I had just as much struggles, if not more, with sin after that than I did before. And maybe I cleaned up on the outside a little bit where I didn't, you know, maybe I would have looked better to the people around me, but inside I was as wicked as ever before. And I remember thinking that, you know, maybe once I get married that'll go away. Once I get married, then I'll settle down and those I'll just be a better person. Well, I found myself a beautiful wife, and we got married, and I would say for the most part, you know, all of our marriage has been very, very pleasant. We had a good marriage in spite of the things, but it was several years into my marriage, and there were some sins that I had been into in my youth that kept coming back, and there were several years in my marriage that it kind of came to a head. I think it was about the year of 99 or early 2000. It kind of came to a head where I realized that I really was a wretched sinner, and nothing seemed to be helping. I always I looked at my mother and my dad as well, and I saw, you know, it just seemed like, for me, it just seemed like that temptation wasn't there. It was, and I knew it was. They said that, you know, they still have temptations, but there was something different still. But it was in early, through some shifts in my job where I was working, we got access to the internet, and it was through the internet that it really kind of came head to head with I realized how sinful my heart really was, and also through some of Michael Pearl's, my mother was sharing with us some of Michael Pearl's teaching on on child training, and also Michael Pearl teaches a lot very strongly. I don't know how many of you know Michael Pearl, but he teaches very strongly on the wickedness and the pornography. And so I was really convicted, and I really desperately wanted to be free of that clutch of wicked thing. And I don't remember a certain time or a certain prayer that I said, or something really spectacular happening, but I do remember this, that there seemed, for some unknown reason to me at the time, all of a sudden I had the power over it that I never had before. It was like there was other things in my life. For one thing, I was a smoker, and other things that I knew where I wanted out of, and yet it just seemed I never had any power over it. It just seemed like I could never kick it for good. But after that, just the crying out to God and asking for help and for forgiveness, and it just seemed like I had a power over it that I hadn't had before, and had been free of it ever since. And so as time went on, I would say it was probably about 3 years that I was converted before I actually realized what happened. But as time went on, and there were several times in my life when I have questioned when I actually did get converted, but when I look back over that period in my life, there were so many changes happening that it just was too obvious. Another thing that came up very soon after that, I was convicted of my smoking habit, and I had tried many times before, but I just had a new desire and a power to overcome that bad habit. And other things, I was very foul-mouthed at times, and there again, just had a desire to just hated sin with a passion that I never did before. It was just such a vile to me. And I came to the point with that I just looked at it and I said, this is so ridiculous. This filthy language, it was just repulsed me. And yet, you know, there was a struggle to get over it, but I hated it and had a power to overcome it. So it was about the year of 2003 that I really started searching deep in the scriptures. I really was going through some struggles in my life. We were planning a move I grew up in a district in central Lancaster County, the Ralph Gordonville area, Sattersburg, that is, I would say, kind of an oasis in the Amish community in this county. And so I was never faced all the hypocrisy and the things that were going on within. But as I started searching the scripture, there was more and more things coming up that I just really, really kind of started asking questions about. And just, first of all, my first response when I got converted was to become more Amish, more legalistic, more, you know, had to be to the codes and everything. And it was when I started really searching the Bible, I was just really wondering about some of these things. What is this all? Why all these, every little detail spelled out about how you're to dress and how you're to do this and that. And as I was about 2 weeks before we moved to Holtwood area, there was a visiting minister in our district there. And he had a message on the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians, and what they were, and who they were, and why they existed. And as he was speaking, it all of a sudden just hit me like a bomb that was me and my people. I just remember it so clearly. And when I got home from church, I went over, we lived in the same house with my parents at that time. I went over to share with my parents. I thought, you know, they would have seen it too. It was just hit me so hard and so, and yet, oh, they hadn't really noticed. I couldn't understand why they didn't see that. But anyway, as time went on, when we moved into a district where we weren't there very long till there was conflict. I had been sharing the gospel with and what I had been feeling with some of my friends down there. One of my best friends had moved down there a couple years before, and we just moved it down across the hill from there. And so at that time, I had been sharing quite a bit with him, and he was very open to it, and yet he was very carnally minded. He was a fairly rich businessman, and he just thought of all the things he could have. And so shortly after that, he was ordained into the ministry, and it was such a blow to him that he was actually suicidal. He had wanted to leave the Amish for carnal reasons. And so it was all of a sudden, you know, I was accused of deceiving him. And within about a week's time, we went from I was actually in the lot at that time with this friend of mine when he was ordained. And so in about a week's time, we went from respected people in the community to just trash all over the community. It was just all kinds of just nasty rumors going around about us, about things that we were saying and doing. And I remember as I went down there, as we moved down there, I really had a desire to be a blessing in that community. I would ask God that He would somehow just make me a blessing there. That somehow I could just be a light in that community. And also in that time was when I was going through that real deep struggle. And I would go out to my office in the morning, kind of backtracking now, I would say, Lord, I don't know what is right. I need to know. And so I went into God's Word and I started seeing things there, and it was just, it started coming alive, and it was just real. And things that, my heart would just jump when I would see things, and it was just such a blessing. And yet, you know, I just thought other people would see this and would want to, but it just didn't quite work that way, always. So anyway, in that time, during that week's time, probably the lowest, most emotionally painful week that I ever experienced few days. People were visiting us. My parents and my wife's parents came and just tried to, you know, talk to us and just so painful. And just went around that week like in a daze. Couldn't believe this is happening to me. I wanted to be a blessing. I wanted to bless these people, and I just couldn't believe that they would react like this. But by the end of that week, that Friday evening it was, I believe, we had already gone to bed. I think my wife was already sleeping. I was just laying awake, meditating over these things and praying. And all of a sudden, my room just filled with the presence of the Lord. I just felt it. It was just so sweet and such a blessing. It was like I almost felt like I could reach out and touch Him. He was so close. It was just so sweet just to know that God still loves me. That it's not like everybody was saying it is. That we were His children. That we were on the right path. And, you know, we stumbled and we made many mistakes and things, but it has been just such a blessing. You know, there's a lot of times when you just, you know, you feel like you've blown it, but God is so faithful. God is so long-suffering. He's so patient with us. He just never gives up. Sometimes you wonder if His patience has no end. We just, you know, there's so many things that you work through and you stumble and you fall, and yet He's always there. He's always ready to pick you up again. Such a blessing. And there was other occasions during that fall and that winter that, you know, we just kind of had to work through some of those things. And other occasions, there was one time God, when I was wrestling with the whole thing of just giving up going to our Bible studies and things because of the pressure my wife's parents were putting on us and things. And then one night, God revealed it very, very clearly to me in a dream that we need to go on. This is of Him, and that we need to go on. So just other confirmations like that have just been such a blessing. So the road has been not always pleasant ever since, but in those times, God has showed Himself faithful. If we just trust in Him, rest in Him, stop resisting, just yield to Him, submit yourself to His righteousness and His guiding hand. And I look back at that time I said about that week where it was so emotionally painful. It was the best thing that could have happened to me. I was a proud businessman. I really was going to be the man, starting my new own business and things like that. And it was the best thing that could happen to me. I had to die. My own reputation had to go. It was such a great stepping stone. God in His mercy allowed us to go through that to make the way clear. So as time went on, it's been in the past couple years especially where I've just felt like I've never been rightly baptized. And so that's why we're here this morning. We have a desire to be baptized this afternoon, Lord willing. And God bless you. I'll let my wife share.
Well, I also was raised older Amish, and I guess it's quite obvious to you. I learned about God and about heaven and hell from my parents and from the church. But There was a time, I think it was in my middle grades, I'm thinking, must have been by about fourth or fifth grade maybe, I actually questioned if there was a God. I just remember, I thought about my parents, my grandparents, and all my uncles, and they believed in God, and how did they know there's a God? How can they really be sure there is a God? And I just, every night, I just asked, it seemed I was just speaking into the darkness. I just said, I want to know if you're real God. And it was a depressing feeling, a very depressing feeling, I must admit. I don't know, it was just a few weeks that way, I don't know what happened, but it just kind of went away, and I just realized that there is a God, and now I know that there, till now I know there is, that God is very real, that's a very present help when we're in need. I guess it would be the desire of every young child to do right. I remember when I was also in school age years, sometimes I'd go to bed, I'd just cry out and I just so badly want to do better now. I just so badly want to do now better. And I remember especially one night, this week as I was pondering about my past, it just came so clear to me how this one night I just cried and cried, and I just so badly wanted to start all over now and lead a new life. But I think it was more of a fear of going to hell than a true love for God, because my life was, I had a lot of sin in my life, yet I was running around and the more you can grasp of God's holiness, the more you see your own wretched self, what a wretched sinner I was. And so at the age of 18, I was baptized into the Amish church. And like Emmanuel said, it was more an outward thing. I was more worried about that I had my clothes on right, and I had some changes I needed to make, and so I was more worried about that than about the heart issues. So I just feel like, it's just a privilege to have this again, to be rebaptized again. I was also a very insecure person. As I look back, it seems like I was either inferior or superior when I was with other people, and that's not a godly way to be. So we got married, my husband, Steve, and like you said, we had a pleasant marriage. Was that a few years into our marriage? Well, like he said, it was probably about six years into our marriage when he started having these convictions, and he started sharing with me some of his convictions. And at first, I had always respected his decisions, and he had earned my respect, I should say. But I was very fearful of what was going to happen to us if we let these feelings come, or if we let us think these things. But it was like one time, just going to share one illustration, he asked. Or he said that, he doesn't feel that it's wrong, that it's a sin for anyone to drive a car. And I just was like, what? Yes, but it's to care for other people, but it's because it's our church rules, we still shouldn't. I mean, they're not for us. And he said, yes, but and he was just like, what? If it's sin, then why do they put the people out of church for it or punish the people for it? And I just went to resist it, but you know, I just really couldn't argue about it because it was so true. God is not a respecter of persons, and if it was sin for us, then it would have been for other people too. I finally realized. So we often talked way into the night about these things, and then it was a while later. I read an article by Michael Pearl. The title was Saving Righteousness. It was a sermon he had preached on righteousness, and it was so clear the way he spelled it out, or he preached it, the gospel about our righteousness and versus God's righteousness. And it was just so clear to me. Before that, I had believed that Jesus died for me, but I still had to let go of all these other things and realize that it's not our doing, not what we do. So after reading that, I just felt so clear, just so free of. I just realized that it's nothing at all that I can do. So it was. I just remember a feeling like I just would never get discouraged again. I just felt so good to be that. But then, well, being brought up to, you know, try our best, we need to do the best we can. It seems I still fail in that area. It was actually just last summer. I think I was comparing my life with my husband, and I just felt like I'm just not getting closer to God like I'd like to, or just not growing in my spiritual life. And I kept asking the Lord to show me if there's still something between us, if there's still unconfessed sin, or. But a few weeks later, then in the night, I think I was just waking up from my sleep, I heard this voice in my spirit, however you would say it, and just said that in a small way you are still trusting in your own work. And then I was wide awake. I just remember. Then the voice came again. It said, in a small way you are still trusting in your own work. And I just. Really surprised. I was kind of, you know, I hadn't realized that I was still doing that. I thought I had, I understood it, but I was just like, Lord, what should I do? And the answer came, nothing. Jesus does the saving.
Cool.
I was just so surprised. I just thought that. Even at the time, I still felt like, how come he didn't say, you know, repent or have more faith? Or even next morning when I was making breakfast, I thought, you know, maybe I should just fast a while or just get on a fast. And then I realized, nah, he said nothing, to do nothing. So that's what I did. And he's just been really teaching me to just rest in him and just in the finished work of the cross. I just have a new understanding of what it means to rest in Him. So that is how it's been since. It's been a blessing, and this journey has been a great. It's just been great. It's just good to. So I'm also looking forward to being baptized this afternoon, and. God bless you all.
I just want to thank all of you who have, we've known a number of you people here for the last 3 or 4 years now, and I just want to thank you for the encouragement you've been to us in the last couple of years, even while we were still Amish, and it's just been such a blessing to have a people where we could go to and be encouraged and blessed. And I just want to thank you for that.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.